This episode is brought to you by Oddmos Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans. And its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Stephanie Patricio was a longtime Portland comic who recently began participating in open mics in Salem. A proud descendant of the indigenous peoples of Michoacan, Mexico, a former organizer of the United Farm Workers Labor Union, a member of MICHA, a Mexican-American student group that aims for Chicano unity, and more. This according to their many friends and acquaintances who posted remembrances this week after Stephanie was killed in a head-on collision near Aurora State Airport with a suspected drunken driver early Wednesday morning, January 22nd. They were 33. Stephanie was a friend to many members of the community, a sister and a daughter, their brother Francisco said. They touched the lives of many, whether it was through laughs, education, love, or friendship. Heartbreaking, said Representative Diego Hernandez, a second-term state legislator from Portland. We lost this bright, funny, beautiful, and loving soul. Stephanie Patricio was an incredible, selfless, and hilarious friend to many of us. Stephanie had performed in numerous shows and podcasts in the Portland area, most recently for a live taping of My Real Portland, a podcast spotlighting local comedy, storytelling, music, and art at the Jade Lounge on January 2nd. Rest in beautiful power, sis, said a friend who met Stephanie 15 years ago. I will remember your vibrancy, powerful stance, and sense of humor. Life is so unfair. You were taken too soon, too young, because of someone else's poor choices and mistakes. According to the initial investigation by the Oregon State Police, alcohol impairment was suspected in the crash that killed Patricio on the part of the other driver, 29-year-old Kelsey Martin of Beaver Creek. Martin survived the collision but was transported to OHSU by Life Flight helicopter in critical condition. As of Saturday morning, Martin was still being treated at the OHSU, but her condition had been upgraded to fair. Also reached on Saturday, an OSP spokesman said the investigation was still open and no further information could be released. He forwarded further inquiries to the Clackamas County District Attorney's Office. According to court records, Martin was charged with DUI, reckless driving, and fourth-degree assault after a different incident in December 2018. A hearing in that case was scheduled for February. A GoFundMe account has been set up to assist Stephanie's mother and brother with memorial costs and legal fees and for missed wages due to the lost time from work. For that link to contribute along with some photos, visit our website, canbynowpod.com. Clackamas County is seeking ways to fund the Canby Ferry and, more importantly, to narrow or, if at all possible, close its annual $400,000 operational funding gap. And, like the Beatles, they are hoping to get by with a little help from their friends. At a meeting this week, County Assistant Director of Transportation Mike Besner recommended that the Board of Commissioners ask for funding support of the ferry from the City of Canby and ODOT. Besner would also approach the cities of West Lynn and Wilsonville with a similar ask. But the county's general thinking was that Canby is only one that might contribute a little bit.
I talked to the prior city manager before he retired, and he retired in September. The new one I've reached out to, actually I just heard back from him today. You know, it's possible if we put a formal request in, we might get a little bit. I don't think it'll be incredibly much, but that's a possibility. The other cities of West Lynn, Wilsonville, I think there's less of a direct, we could ask, there's less of a direct link. It certainly is a link to Canby. I think the other two might be a little more lukewarm, but we have not done outreach to those cities yet.
In a follow-up, Besner said he didn't know exactly what the amount would be that the county might ask for, but he expects it would be in the ballpark of $25,000. That's not much when you're looking at a funding gap of $300,000 to $400,000, but every little bit helps. It's not clear where this money would come from for Canby, or if the city council would even entertain such a request. In a much earlier discussion last February, councilors expressed little interest in assuming the ferry's full operations, but a much smaller financial contribution might be considered. Then again, any money for the ferry would likely come from the city's road budget, and Canby streets are already a near constant complaint from residents as it is. Even with the some $300,000 in additional revenue that is coming from the new county vehicle registration fee, it's likely that spending road money on anything other than roads would be a hard political sell. More funding possibly could come from the Oregon Department of Transportation. ODOT already partially funds the operations of Buena Vista Ferry, Besner said, and an arrangement that dates back to when Marion County agreed to take over the failing ferry decades ago. Other changes are in the works, most of them suggestions that came from the public engagement with the Canby area community last year. The county has hired a consultant to come up with a marketing strategy intended to drive awareness and drive increases in short and long-term ridership. Concepts are currently under development, and with the first campaign expected to start this spring. And it's possible the county could do more. Here are Commissioners Jim Bernard and Paul Savas discussing some of their more creative ideas.
Well, I think we should go the, you know, gesture advertising and see how it works. But have we considered dinner cruises?
We haven't.
Weddings?
That sounds like a nightmare.
And wine tasting?
Haven't. That sounds like a worse nightmare. Wine tasting on a boat.
There's enough time to get from one side. You could do an infomercial.
You just sink it out.
You sell commercial time.
We could.
You just drag it out in the middle of the river.
Yeah.
Have a dinner cruise.
I'm all for creative, but that scares me.
The county is also continuing the design and installation of telecommunications fiber at the Canby Ferry site with the help of $400,000 federal grant. This would facilitate new electronic signage throughout Canby, which could be updated automatically to alert drivers as to whether the ferry is open or not. The Canby Ferry operates year-round, technically, but is often closed in the winter months when the river level gets too high, above 70 feet. During those months, the county believes many potential users simply avoid the ferry altogether, rather than waste time driving to the end of North Holly to see if it's open. It would also allow the ferry to begin accepting credit and debit cards, which would make these transactions more secure and also broaden the ferry's potential customer base. Right now, the ferry is cash only, and let's just be honest, who even carries cash anymore? I think the last time I carried cash in my pocket was the time I found a quarter in the Fred Meyer parking lot. It has been a tough week for Canby area first responders, and sadly, the hits kept coming early Friday morning. The driver and sole occupant of a green pickup was killed in a crash shortly after midnight on South Highway 213 near Union Mills Road after attempting to flee a traffic stop. Malala Police Lieutenant Chris Long said the pursuit began at approximately 12:19 a.m. when an officer stopped the pickup at the city of Malala for erratic driving. Shortly after being contacted, the suspect fled northbound on Cascade Highway toward Malino. Malala PD pursued the vehicle for several miles until it crashed near Union Mills. Long said the driver was found dead at the scene. No other vehicles were involved. Malala Police has declined to identify the driver pending notification to their next of kin. The Malala Police Department was assisted in the investigation by the Clackamas County Major Crimes Team, as well as the Clackamas County Interagency Criminal Reconstruction and Forensic Technician Team. Cascade Highway was closed for several hours Friday while investigators and first responders worked the scene, but was open well before the morning rush hour commute. Just call her Queen Ruby. Our congratulations to Canby High School senior Ruby Kaiser, who became the first female student to ever be crowned Royal Cougar this week at the annual fundraiser and talent show. Kaiser, a key piece of Canby's surprising volleyball team that finished third in the state last fall, said she was very excited to have won, but also surprised. Ruby said, quote, "I put a lot of thought into my events, but I mostly just did the contest to raise money and have fun. I've been the lead organizer of the Royal Cougar the last 2 years, so it was super fun to actually be a part of it." She raised an incredible $1,431.87 for her chosen cause, the Australia Zoo Wildlife Hospital, which has treated over 90,000 injured animals, including thousands affected by the Australian brush fires. "I'm really proud of the amount of money I raised," she said. "So many people donated to the cause, and that was really cool to see. It feels like I will have actually made a little difference." The event involved 5 different categories: talent, lip sync, beachwear, formal wear, and spirit wear. For her talent, Kaiser and junior Daly McClellan, another star member of the Canby Cougar volleyball team, performed a reenactment of the Evolution of Dance dance. Other talents included singing and impressions of characters from TV and movies. A total of 6 other students participated in the Royal Cougar Pageant, representing and raising money for 6 charities of their own: Thirst Project, Dornbecker Children's Hospital, the Miniature Schnauzer Rescue, House of Dreams, Dreaming Zebra Foundation, and the World Wildlife Fund. For photos, visit our website, canbynowpod.com. A tweak of 5A special district alignments was part of the latest update released by the OSAA Football Ad Hoc Committee Friday, and the Canby Cougar football team, which will be playing at the 5A level at least the next 2 years, was one of the schools affected. The committee was attempting to better accommodate the schools from the Intermountain Conference, including Redmond and Ridgeview, which had been part of Canby's new league in the original proposal for OSAA. In the first attempt, the committee kind of templated it the way it looked the previous 2 years. OSAA Assistant Executive Director Brad Garrett, not the actor, said, "They heard testimony Wednesday, and essentially the IMC would like to be together if possible, and the LaSalle was in the room and agreed with it." Under the new proposal, Canby's 5A Special District 2 would include the Northwest Oregon Conference schools, Hillsboro, Scappoose, St. Helens, and Forest Grove, along with Wilsonville McKay and North Salem. At least one trip to Central Oregon, always a dicey proposition in the fall, would be avoided in this new scenario. "There's going to be travel either way," Garrett said. "I don't know if the proposal necessarily reduces travel for anybody. I think in general the committee thought it made sense to give it a shot for a couple of years and see how it works." Early indications are that this might be a more competitive league for Canby as well. Wilsonville, who makes sense as a crosstown rival of sorts, is a perennial 5A contender and was also in a league with Canby under the last recommendation. But this would add 2 of the last year's playoff teams, Hillsboro and Scappoose, who upset Pendleton last year in the first round of the postseason. And interestingly, this proposal would also put 3 of the 4 teams playing down at 5A into the same league, McKay, Forest Grove, and Canby, leaving out only South Eugene. The committee's final recommendations will be forwarded to the OSAA Executive Board for review and potential adoption on February 10th. It was a tale of two halves Friday night as the Camby Cougars boys basketball team's 3-0 start to Three Rivers League play came to an end against the number 4 West Lynn Lions. It was the 10th annual Pack the Gym night at Camby High, and the Camby Crazies were eagerly filling their roles as sixth man. The air was electric, and behind the crowd's energy and Camby's red-hot three-point shooting and inspired defense, the Cougars burst out to a 28-18 lead in the first two quarters. They seem to be in total control, but the super talented squad from West Lynn is too good a team to have two bad halves in a row. Camby went ice cold in the third, scoring only 5 points, and by the fourth quarter, the Lions had a lead they would never relinquish. Final score, 61-41. Arredondo led Camby with a game-high 18 points, while sophomore guard Alexander Evans and junior guard Riley Knutson added 8 apiece. While the momentum in the boys' game swung wildly from one side to the other, the girls' home stand against West Lynn was a close match that stayed close until the final buzzer. The Cougs played within one with a clutch corner three from junior guard Zoe Thompson in the final 2 minutes, but missed free throws and a couple defensive laps doomed them in the end. They also fell 42-46. For photos from Pack the Gym night, check out our Facebook page. League play continues this week for the Cougar basketball teams as they get their first crack at Tualatin Tuesday and then host Lake Oswego on Friday. The Lady Timberwolves will be a tough matchup. They're 10-4 on the season, but have yet to put together in league play, going 1-3. The Lakers are 3-11. Same matchups for the boys, though both games will be on the road. Both Tualatin and Laco are currently 7-8 on the season. The dominant performance from the Camby Cougar wrestling team this Thursday, Camby welcomed visiting Lake Ridge under the lights at the Cougar Den, then proceeded to tie them up 8 ways to Sunday. The Cougs won 75-6 in a duel that was never close, winning every matchup except 160-pound weight class. Among others, Nick Marquez, Asher Chafee, Zach and Dome Netter, Caden Boyd, and Brent Patterson all won on pins. While Camby Wrestling was dominating Lake Ridge, the Cougar Swim Team's duel against visiting St. Mary's Academy was much closer and ultimately went the other way. The girls lost a tight one to the Blues, 87-81, while the boys had the night off. St. Mary's Academy is an all-girls school. Both will be back in action next Thursday as they host Oregon City at the Camby Swim Center. Go Cougars!
More than 1.2 million Americans receive internet, TV, and telephone services from community cooperatives like Direct Link. They believe that their role revolves around partnerships, whether sponsoring a local event, hosting educational classes, or investing in fiber internet technology. Direct Link is here for our community because they are a part of our community.
Beyond just working in Camby, most of Direct Link's employees live here as well. Direct Link's investment in the local area reaches past business interests and extends into the everyday lives of neighbors, friends, and families. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities.
We'd like to extend our undying gratitude to the Camby Now Plus member, Erica Engel. I hope to God I got that right. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we love. To find out how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, one of our supporters on Patreon, visit cambynowpod.com/plus.
My guest on the Camby Conversation today is Dan Lay. He's the general manager at Active Water Sports. They are one of the largest and premier retailers of boats and wakeboards and all kinds, all things water sports related, and also the newest resident of the Camby Industrial Park. Hey, Dan.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. You are a tough man to get a hold of nowadays.
Well, it's been an interesting year.
Yeah.
A lot of moving parts.
I've interviewed people wanted by law enforcement that were easier to get interviews with than you, my man.
Well, I apologize for being hard to nail down. But
no apologies necessary. But yeah, it's been a busy year for you guys for sure. A year of growth and some exciting developments.
Yeah. So this is something that we've needed in our company for probably 5 years now. Mm-hmm. We just always are running out of space, especially with the boats getting bigger and bigger every year. We've just been looking for something like Canby, and it kind of all fell into our lap at the same time as a lot of other big growth opportunities. So, yeah, finally feel like we're coming up for air now that it's the new year.
Yeah. So is that something with the boat sales? Because I am not a boat owner myself, but is that something they're sort of – are actually getting larger, or did you just mean like number of boats that you guys sell and the
No, the actual size of the boats is getting much larger,
sort of like cars in that way.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about back in the 80s when this company was founded, the boats were just ski boats. And so they were low to the water. They didn't have towers. Now they sit up on trailers that are a little bit bigger. The towers are tall. They don't fit in a lot of people's garages.
Yeah.
So what we're finding is we need a spot to store their boat for them in the winter. Mm-hmm. And our lots were just overflowing in Oregon City. So we looked all over Portland. We made a couple offers on some spots downtown. Nothing really seemed to come together until we found this spot in Canby. Mm-hmm. And it was best case scenario.
Yeah.
We've actually talked about how there was a spot in Portland that we were really disappointed that we didn't get.
Yeah.
And when we got this spot and we're able to work with the city and kind of build it from the ground up, we've talked about how it was, you know, a blessing in disguise.
Mm-hmm. So obviously Portland, like you have, I mean, it's so much of a larger area population wise, like you have so much more direct access to potential customers there. Do you feel like coming out to Canby is a little bit on the outskirts of that? Or why do you say this is a perfect location for what you want to do?
Well, we did end up with a Portland location for boat sales and our retail pro shop.
Right.
So it was kind of the best case scenario with still being able to get a spot down there where the traffic is heavy. But when you're talking about storing and moving 300 boats around in one small area, you don't really want to have to deal with traffic. You don't want to have to deal with the city coming in and writing parking tickets for parking on the street too long. And that's what we're getting in Oregon City. We get a ticket probably every day on a customer's boat or an employee's boat.
Yeah.
And our Portland location is really, you know, it's in the heart of Portland.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because there's probably, you know, a million people within a 5 mile radius, but
probably a million traffic cops there too.
a lot of parked cars around our building all the time. Hard to find a space, you know. We make it as easy and accommodating as we possibly can, but not to the level that we need out here in Canby. So
You got room to breathe out here. You guys really spread out across your lot here, and just have a really expansive and nice facility that you built.
So when you guys are listening, if you want to see the physical location, I'm gonna plug it. activewatersports.com. We have a storage button and you can see a video and photos of the location. It's on 4 acres, 30,000 square feet of indoor storage. A little bit of that is taken up by offices and a showroom, but the majority of it is just out here in the beautiful city of Canby.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the building. First of all, inside, I guess, because, definitely look at that video, or if you are of means, come check it out in person.
Yes.
But it's a big building from the outside, but weirdly, like once you're inside and you see just the seemingly like miles of boats in that storage area, it feels just huge. Like it's like you're in a football arena. Like it's enormous.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy because when we started breaking ground, we're looking like, oh man, it, you know, kind of seemed like it was going to be bigger on paper. But now that the walls are up and the roof is on and the boats are in, it's like what you said. It's like a Home Depot, but instead of tools and lumber, it's just all boats. You know? It's pretty sweet. Because, in our other shop, I mean, we had a location in Beaverton, which is where Warren, the owner, started the company. Mm-hmm. And going back to the whole ski boat thing, you know, it was fine when we were working with ski boats, but then when we were you know, moving out of there, the towers were hitting the top of the garage doors. The, you know, you put the tower up inside, it'd punch a hole through the ceiling.
Yeah.
They were getting so tall. And in here, we've got 25 feet tall ceilings, 25 foot tall ceilings.
Pretty tall.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, we can breathe for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of room for activities.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing some activities and stuff here?
Yeah, so we're going to host. We'll host some events. We're big on that. Grassroots events, get the customers kind of involved. Times have changed a lot from when people were doing tournament skiing. Now they want to buy kind of, you know, wake surf style boats, go out for the weekend, take their friends out. It's a real fun and relatively easy sport to participate in.
Yeah.
So you're always getting new people out on the water, hanging out, having a good time on the weekend.
Yeah.
And it's become definitely focused on that. So instead of hosting contests, we're now hosting events like free demo days. Mm. We'll do kind of indoor boat shows at our Oregon City location. And that's something that we're really excited to start doing out here is get something going where we do maybe like a block party. You know, we can have food trucks come out to the parking lot. We can do boat show, you know, big sale, close out, end of the summer type stuff. So
love it.
The wheels are still turning on all that. But yeah, we're definitely going to host a few events out here.
Yeah, cool. I do want to talk as well about the design of the building from the outside, because, you know, like these buildings are built, like it just looked like kind of a boring box, you know, initially. And I think even me and maybe some other people are like, okay, great. We got another boring box in the industrial park. And then I think it was like, at least it felt like almost overnight, the paint job came on, this like sleek, sexy, like blue, black and white job, and it just like popped, you know. Where did that come from?
So the original inspiration for that was from a company called Ronix. They're a wakeboard brand. And they had a rival company of theirs build a brand new building, and it was just muted, you know, just boring, plain gray, like what you're saying. And so they built a bigger building on the hill that the same park that it's in. And they made it bright and extravagant and really cool looking. And all the, you know, all of their rivals have to drive past that nice bright building to get to work every day. And I saw that and I've never forgotten that. And so when we had the chance to build this, I just, you know, I brought the photo of the Ronix building to my colleagues and was like, okay, we got to do something like this. And
so
then,
here you're not trying to show anybody up, but it just looks
no, it was just, cause it is an industrial area, you know, where there's a lot of cool stuff going on here, I'm sure, but we're in action sports. And so that blue pops is like a very, you know, loud, fast color. And, Miles Johnson is, an employee of ours. He's our graphic designer, and he's the one, I mean, he spent probably 2 days designing the building, and I'm telling him like, this, just pick the colors, the painters will take care of it. But Miles, he's such a gifted artist that he spent so much time, like so many different designs, and we picked from all of them, so many different colors. I mean, he went to Home Depot and he had, we had blues laid out all over the desk,
got a million
and,
shades of blue.
So many blues. And then we narrowed it down to like 30 blues. And so some thought went into this for sure.
You can tell, that somebody with a good eye for design, like just had a huge canvas and just had went to town on it. Like,
Exactly. That's, that's exactly what it was when we were done painting it. Cause we actually had to paint the logo by hand. And like mask it all off. And it was a project, but it was pretty cool. Cause once we were done, we got to stand back and look at it and be like, wow, this is pretty awesome.
Well, so active water sports and Warren Fries, you know, it was actually, I guess, like the 30th anniversary or something, but there was a documentary that was done to kind of talk about the history. It's a fascinating history and very like grassroots with Warren started selling skis out of the back of his truck. Like, you know, didn't really know. It was, it was very much like this nascent period of water sports for the state. Like no one necessarily really knew that this was going to be the industry that we see today. And he and his growing staff at that point, you know, were on the forefront of that. Can you talk a little bit about folks who maybe haven't seen the documentary that I have and just kind of what this company is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. one of my favorite things to talk about when it comes to this company. So founded in 1982, the economy wasn't great. So Warren shifted from swinging a hammer, building homes, to teaching his buddies how to water ski. And his father was
a little more fun.
Yes, way more fun. His father was a businessman as well in the auto parts industry. So he said, come to work for me in auto parts. No, I don't want to do that. I want to keep, you know, skiing. Well, how are you going to make money doing that? You got to charge your buddies. Let's go find a boat. Then you can actually start charging customers. Mm-hmm. And within a couple years, he was at the Portland Boat Show. That would be in 82. Mm-hmm. After running a very, very successful ski school for a few years, came to the Portland Boat Show as the first boat sales representative for ski boats. Mm-hmm. Everything else was, you know, runabouts, fishing boats. So it was kind of new to the market to have a fiberglass water ski style boat. And they sold out of skis and boats pretty quick. Mm. And then, you know, it's like, okay, well, double the order. Let's keep going. And there weren't seasons then like there are now, you know, where you just got, this is the 19 model, this is the 20 model. There still was that, but it didn't really matter. You know, nobody was trying to show up anybody. Everybody just wanted to ski, mm-hmm. you know, everybody wanted to ski. Mm-hmm. I asked my buddies, like, did your parents water ski? Oh yeah, for sure. Well, do you wakeboard or do you surf or anything? No, I never really had the chance to, you know, just seemed like everybody wanted a piece of that back in the day. And we don't have any numbers from back in the day because everything was on paper and everything was cash. I mean, literally 82, there was no email. There was no Google, no YouTube. You couldn't watch how to water ski. You had to go learn. You had to go to the boat show. You had to find out. And Warren is the hardest worker I've ever met to this day. You'll never catch him sitting down at a boat show. You'll never see him walking off to go eat lunch. Like he, from start to finish, he is on his feet talking with customers and he'll never stop that. So really you fast forward a few years and he
that's cool. I don't mean to interrupt, but just, you know, because this industry is about, you know, it's a leisure industry, right? Like, you know, and it's cool that he's made his name and the company's made his name on hard work. You know, I think that that's important to kind of highlight.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, he has buddies that he still hangs out with and talks to that worked for him back when he was starting it up that didn't get paid. Mm-hmm. They just took free water skis, took free poles, and that was good enough for them, which is a pretty cool foundation for a company that really just sells toys at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, so I don't know how detailed you want me to get, but he moved into his father's auto parts business kind of in the corner and started selling boats and skis out of a Napa Auto Parts. Outgrew that, opened Oregon City, had that for about 25 years. And then just last year, we had the opportunity to open that Portland location, which is off of McAdam, just south of downtown. And then Canby, all in the same year. So, yeah, it's been a big year, but it was just kind of the same thing. Too big for the ski school, goes to the boat show. Too big for the boat show, goes to the auto parts and so on. So,
Yeah. Well, coming back to Canby, obviously that's where we are now. And that's kind of what we're all about at the Canby Now podcast.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm really excited about and wanted to talk to you. And, you know, even despite your many, many efforts to elude me, no, I'm just kidding, but wanted to do this interview because, like, you know, every large kind of business like this that comes into the industrial park, like, makes an impact, has, you know, jobs, whatever, you know, STCs, things that go to the government, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But something like you guys really feels like it has the opportunity to be almost transformative, like more transformative than your run-of-the-mill industrial user, with the area that we're in here in Canby and the nexus of like two or three, you know, rivers, depending on how you count them. Mm-hmm. We're almost in like a boater's paradise, but it's not something that is really on a lot of people's radar, I feel. And you guys being here, being the leader in the industry that you are, really feels like you're kind of taking that first step, showing everyone like this place is where it's at, you know, and could potentially bring a lot more with it is what I feel. I don't know if that was part of kind of your approach to being here in Canby or if that was something you guys talked about.
Yeah. I mean, if we could get some water access in Canby, open up a park, that would be amazing. And, we did move here, you know, not wanting to stray too far from the river.
Yeah.
You know, the Portland location right across the street from the river, Oregon City, you could throw a rock into the river.
Right.
Coming to Canby, just love the community, love how Portland is growing, but also it can get a little hectic. And, So yeah, I mean, joining the community that is Canby, it feels like we're at home. You know, Warren grew up in a small town. Beaverton was a small town until it expanded the way that it is. Right. And yeah, now being here, I mean, we're definitely working a lot on educating our customers. That is a huge part of this new decade, yeah, is teaching people how to recreate with these boats, where to recreate with these boats. Canby and the,
so even though we have YouTube now, that's still a big, yes, part of it. Yeah.
Well, and we are using YouTube as a tool to help educate people. But yeah, you know, it's it seems like a good spot. It's one of the best spots in the world, mm-hmm, to wakeboard. In fact, there was an article written in Alliance Wakeboard Mag a few years back about the Willamette River and how from above the falls, you have almost 20 miles of river that you can, you know, it's tree lined from shore to shore. So it's blocked by the wind. And I'm not just saying this, but the stretch where it runs through Canby is one of the best spots.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's where I always ride.
Awesome.
Yeah. We'll even camp sometimes on the side of the river, mm-hmm, over here and on the other side. You know, have you ever checked out the Hollywood Mansion?
No.
Ever been involved in that?
I have heard of it, actually. Yeah, now that you mentioned it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the big Hollywood Mansion, yeah, is like right across the river, right, from here. And yeah, super awesome place,
yeah,
to hang,
yeah,
out and boat.
Cool, some places to sort of adventure around the river and, yeah, have fun. Cool. Well, so you guys are open now. Anything to sort of put out there or anything we didn't talk about as we wrap things up here?
Yeah, it was weird timing, you know. A project this size, all the deadlines got pushed back a little bit. We were really trying to be done before the summer was over, but we completed and got our, you know, all our permits that we could start doing business kind of right in the middle of the season when nobody cares about boating.
Right.
So we are open if you want to come check it out. It's nice and quiet here at the moment, but come spring, we're we're planning on having a grand opening party. So keep your ears out for that, everyone. It should be pretty fun. We always do free food and raffle prizes. And maybe we'll have like, we've been talking about getting a stage and a band and all that fun stuff because we have the parking lot. Yeah, just try to get the community something to look forward to every year. And yeah, we're open though.
Cool.
If you have a boat and you need to store it, we've got spots.
We got some space. Lots of space down here at Active Water Sports Canby. Cool. Well, once those details are more finalized, definitely let us know so we can share it with people. Thank you so much for your time, Dan. And thank you. And thanks to Active Water Sports for your investment in our community.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Canby, for letting us join the family.
I'm here at Advantage Mortgage with Derek Hill. And Derek, you were telling me about something that just came down from Fannie Mae that people might be interested in.
Yeah, Fannie Mae just came out with a report that said that the average homeowner in the United States has approximately 70% equity in their home.
Oh, now, wow.
Right. I mean, that's obviously average throughout the whole country. But because values have come up so substantially in the last 10 years, there is a ton of equity available that people can utilize.
Cool. So if people are potentially like looking to buy or move into a new home, you're saying that equity means it might be something that you would look at remodeling instead of if the market's not looking favorable to you.
Right, 100%. Because the market in Portland is so tough to buy, you know, we have an average of like 2.5 months worth of inventory. So it's just super hard for people to find what they're looking for. It may be just easier for them to take out some equity and do the upgrades or do an addition or pay off some debt or lots of different things. And that's one of the things that we love to do with people is sit down with them and kind of go over a game plan. You know, just that's one of the biggest things is knowing what you can do. And we love taking the time to do that for people.
Awesome. Awesome. And people can find you on your website or just give you a call.
They can go to findtheadvantage.com or call 266-5800, obviously 503 area code. And we love to chit chat. And we have, you know, 8 or 9 different loan officers here in the Canby office that would love to sit down with somebody and work with them.
Cool. Thanks, Derek.
So just remember, Derek Hill, NMLS number 50183, Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 177059, equal housing opportunity.
Cool.
Joining us on the line now is Chantel Harney with Camby Kids to talk about an event that's coming up in just this next week. Hi, Chantel.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So we're going to be talking about a really cool event, a fundraiser that's coming up. But first, I wanted to give you a chance. Can you tell us just a little bit about Canby Kids for folks that might be newer to the town or maybe don't have kids in the school district or don't have kids in the school district yet, may not even be aware of what you guys are all about?
So Canby Kids was organized in the 70s by a group
of parents.
A long time ago. And it basically, it's a nonprofit. We have kids sports, all outdoor sports now for K through 8. Once kids get into high school, they're more like Canby Boosters area. But it's Canby Youth Football, Canby Youth Soccer, Canby Youth Lacrosse, Canby Youth Baseball, and Canby Youth Softball. All levels of skill. All our programs have, basic rec leagues to club sports. All of them offer scholarships for kids. So we just want every kid in Canby to have the ability to play on a team and learn what that's about. So
yeah, I think it's so neat. It's like when I was growing up, and I didn't grow up here in Oregon, but like almost all of the sports for younger kids were still done like through the schools and through the school districts and whatnot, and out here it's not really like that, and it's so cool for something that is like grassroots and local and unique to Canby to and now for coming up on 50 years, it sounds like, have just grown and sustained itself all with just a mission of creating positive, fun opportunities for local kids.
Yeah, and Canby Kids, I mean, we work, part of our mission is to work with the city of Canby and the school district.
Sure.
For facilities for our kids to play and maintaining those. And we have great partnerships with those two different entities.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming up is a fundraiser. It's going to be on February 1st. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I gather you've done before, but maybe not for a while.
Well, we've done some fundraisers in the past, okay. More like dinner dances, that kind of thing. Canby Kids is solely funded. We used to be actually in the city's budget.
Oh, okay.
Up until, I want to say to the year 2000, and then some budget cuts came, so we've been solely funded on fees.
Gotcha.
And all our individual sports, they have their own budgets, and then the Canby Kids is more the administrative budget to keep the nonprofit functioning for all of our sports.
Keep the bean counters happy.
Exactly. So, each sport pays into the Canby Kids nonprofit via fees assessed to their members.
Okay.
But this fundraiser, what we're trying to do is make a dent in those. So it's, fees are always going up in everything your kids do. And we don't, the least we can add on to that, and keep our nonprofit healthy is what we want to do. So we're having a poker tournament to help offset those fees.
Gotcha. So it's not that it's been a while since you've done a poker tournament. It's been a little while since you've done any kind of fundraiser.
Yeah, we've kind of, been just relying on fees. But the sports, it's always a concern to keep their fees low.
Sure.
And anything we can do to help out our members.
Yeah.
And the kids in the community, basically, to keep the,
Yeah. So well, my kids aren't quite at the sport level yet. My oldest is 5, which I think would qualify for sports, but she's so like hilariously uncoordinated that probably is not a good idea. It would just be embarrassing for the whole family. But I'm just kidding. She's wonderful. She's very graceful. She does dance. But I gather, I do hear that is a concern, and that is even folks do know that at least a certain extent, some of our, lower income working families are not able to access sports sometimes because of the cost of, like you say, you have to pay what it costs. I mean, even as a nonprofit, but the things cost money to you. But that is something that can be a barrier. Is that true?
Absolutely. And I think it doesn't get out there enough that all the Canby Kids sports do have scholarship opportunities for. Right. We never want to turn a kid away.
Right.
And certainly once kids are a little older and they're in the club level type of play, we do have teams through Canby Kids that do that, but that's a whole nother deal. But for recreational play, we don't turn kids away. Everybody will get to play.
Nice.
And different sports have different ways. You know, you might have some families work in the snack bar, you know, or different ways to compensate for the scholarship. But, you know, we want every kid in Canby to have an opportunity to play, especially at the younger ages, because those, I mean, sure, it's sports, but a lot of them, they don't even keep score. It's, you know, you learn how to be a teammate, how to be a good citizen, how mm-hmm. to be part of a team, how take direction, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Cool. Well, so this, it's a Texas Hold'em poker tournament. And, you know, obviously it's a fundraiser. It's all about raising money for Canby Kids, hopefully bringing that cost of participation down for all kids and Absolutely. Families. But there's some prizes. It sounds like there's actually a chance some folks who are card sharks in our community might yeah. be able to walk away with a little money in their pocket.
Yeah. So Canby is an awesome community. I've lived here my whole life. I was a Canby kid myself. Mm. So I kind of reached out to, I'm president of Canby Kids, but I reached out to some former Canby Kids and some great people in the community. And Canby Kids at Heart, yes. Mm-hmm. The Backstop Bar and Grill was able to donate the space, the Antonia Ballroom upstairs, and then another great Canby resident, Paula Barnes Brotherton, who grew up here in Canby, was a Canby kid herself. She works for REMAX. She donated the prize money. We've got a couple banners coming from the Sign Shop and Hubbard, some more the Pot Rats fan. I mean, just great Canby people. We were able to put this event on mm-hmm. very minimally. So we do have $2,500 in prize money for the final table. Everybody will get paid. It's a $60 buy-in. You can buy rebuys up to the first 2 hours. We'll have food up there. Lunch can be bought. Adult refreshments up there. All volunteers running the tournament. Mm-hmm. We'd just love to see a great turnout. It really could make a huge difference for the kids in the community.
Awesome.
And we do have a site, Eventbrite. We have a page that you can go on there and just look. You can look up Canby Kids Poker Tournament and sign up. Pre-register would be great, but you know, we'll take your money at the door as well. So
awesome. Yeah, so it's like we said, Saturday, February 1st. Check-in starts and lunch starts at 11 o'clock, and yeah. then the tournament gets underway starting at noon and goes until it is.
We're hoping until about 6. So one reason we're doing it during the day, a lot of people have said, why didn't you do this in the evening? Well, Canby has a lot of things going on all the time.
Yeah.
And there's a Knights of Columbus crab feed in the evening. Oh, so sure. We didn't really want – we kind of probably – share in some of the people that might want to be involved in those events. So we're going to try to be done by 6. We have a tournament director coming in that's a great guy that runs the tournament for us, and he can kind of dictate how fast the tournament plays. So.
Awesome. Sounds good. Who's your money on? Who's the best poker player in Canby? Do you think that tell? Is it you?
Well, I wouldn't say me. I'll be bartending that day, but okay. There's a lot of good poker players.
I think
in
that
there.
There's a lot of big talkers in Canby. I'm not sure who has
for
game.
Sure. Bragging rights are a big deal.
A lot
sure.
of braggers, but we'll see. Remains to be seen. So, the first prize I heard was $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. But everybody that makes the final table will make a little bit. So
nice. So. Well, we will be sharing the link as well. Like you mentioned, you can go to Eventbrite and search Canby Kids Poker Tournament, but we'll have the link in our show notes for this episode as well. Chantel, thank you so much for your time and thanks for your work.
Hey, thank you so much for letting us get the word out. We really, really appreciate it. And the kids in the community really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So. Our pleasure. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Canby Now Community Board, where you're in charge. That's right. This is where we share your news with our listeners. Everything from birth announcements, birthdays and obituaries, to local events and accomplishments. If you're hashtag Canby Proud, let us celebrate with you. This year is the 150th anniversary of the year of Canby's platting. don't know what that word is, when the town was named after Civil War General Edward Richard Sprigg Canby, and its original 24 blocks were laid out. It's the city's sesquicentennial. You know what, Frankie? I don't like that you keep making me read these words. Anyway, one of the first events celebrating the occasion happens tonight at 7 p.m. at the Canby Pioneer Chapel. Greg Leo, a third-generation Oregonian, local historian, and speaker, will present on Canby's 150th anniversary, highlighting milestones from the city's past with compelling photos, entertaining stories, and fun facts, not boring facts. An avid reader of history and advocate for heritage programs, Greg has served as president of Friends of Historic Shampooey and its current vice president of Friends of Historic Butteville. He has a lot of titles. He is a frequent speaker on Oregon history topics with local heritage organizations. And the team here at the Canby Now podcast has also been able to help out. Greg is an old friend, and we were asked to share some of the fun stories we found in digging through the town's dusty old history book for our Canby Then series. So, you know, should be a good time. For ticket information, visit www.pioneerchapel.net. Life is a highway, or so they say, and now that song is stuck in my head. There's also this year's theme for the Canby High School Senior All-Night Party, and the planning committee needs your help. The Senior All-Night Party is a celebration that has continued in Canby for over 35 years. The All-Night Party Committee is an independent, nonprofit organization run by parents and volunteers. Their goal is to provide a safe, supervised, substance-free night of enjoyment and celebration for the 366 members of the 2020 Canby High School senior class. Communities that provide a senior all-night party have virtually eliminated alcohol and drug-related injuries on graduation night, including in Canby. The committee is seeking the support of local businesses and other organizations in the form of cash, gift cards, merchandise, or services. Contributions are tax deductible. For questions about donations, contact Candy Rodriguez, wow, that's hard for me to say, at 503-318-5321. A free 7-week class for parents and guardians is starting next month. It's hosted by Todos Juntos and Clackamas Parenting Together. The class is in English and for parents, guardians, and their youth ages 10 to 16. Learn about parenting skills, child life skills, and family skills. The class will be on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Ackerman Center starting February 3rd. Child care will be provided for children under the age of 10, along with a light dinner. For more information or to register, contact Patty Zavala at 971-285-5717 or by email at pattyz@todosjuntos.net. That's todosjuntos.net. The Canby Aurora VFW Post 6057 and Auxiliary invites you to join them on February 22nd for their annual Iwo Jima flag-raising ceremony, this year planned for the Ackerman Center Gymnasium. All military veterans and their families in particular are encouraged to attend. It's the 75th anniversary of the flag-raising at Iwo Jima and the 25th anniversary of the Canby event. Veterans groups and service organizations are welcome to participate in the massing of the colors to kick off the event. If interested, contact Martin Lacknier at 503-849-8390. Ceremony itself starts at 10 a.m. Refreshments will be provided, and we're told there will also be a drawing for a 68 Cadillac. Tickets are now available for a daddy-daughter dance in March, a fundraiser for the Rotary Club of Canby. The evening will include a chocolate fountain. Okay, I'm already sold. Cupcakes. All right, I'm already getting ready and getting out the door. And other special treats, magical surprises, and wonderful moments for a dad and his daughter or daughters to share. Frankie's daughter is making him go because, I mean, I just read the list. and it's a great way to support the good work of Canby Rotary. Join Frankie for this magical evening and say hi to the Canby Now crew. The dance will be from 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday, March 14th at the Canby Adult Center. Tickets can be purchased on Facebook and Eventbrite, that's B-R-I-T-E. For links, find this story on our website at cambynowpod.com. Optionally, dance instructor Holly, not even going to Fidinazzo, I'm really sorry, Holly, will be offering dance lessons for dads and daughters to get ready for the big night. Let's be honest, Frankie can probably use this, like really badly. Those are planned for February 21st and 29th at the Canby Center. Are you concerned about recycling? Well, you should be. Natural resources and a healthy environment, aren't we all? The Regional Masters Recycling Course is making its once-a-year visit to Clackamas County this spring. The class provides a hands-on opportunity to learn about recycling and waste reduction, and participants use the knowledge to make an immediate positive difference in the community. Offered only 3 times a year, this 8-week class meets once a week in the evening and twice on Saturdays for half-day field trips. The spring session will start Wednesday, April 1st and run for 8 consecutive Wednesdays at Clackamas County's Development Services Building, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City. A $50 fee covers course materials. Limited scholarships are available. For more details and to apply, visit www.masterrecycler.org. Registration closes Wednesday, March 4th at noon. To get your event announcement or community news on the Canby Now community board, email us today at info@canbynowpod.com and tell everyone about what's going on in this town. Come on!
The Canby Now podcast is brought to you in part by the Wild Hair Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun. Lifelong Canby residents Darren and Joan Monin founded the Wild Hair 16 years ago, and as their business has grown and expanded, they've continued to give back to the community they love. They're one of the biggest supporters of school activities, youth sports, local events, and even this podcast. They have a heart for Canby, plain and simple.
They also have some of the best food and drinks on the planet.
Did I forget to mention that?
No, it's all right. I'm going to mention it. It's no accident that residents voted them the best restaurant and best service through the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce last year. Happy hour daily from 3 to 6. Kids eat free on Mondays, live music and breakfast on the weekends. And they have great salads and other healthy options to help you keep your New Year's resolutions. Check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website, thewildhairsaloon.net. The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden, so round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.